see that. I know for sure that homosexuality, those who believe in homosexuality don't have any respect for God. And it seems that when someone is preaching the truth and preaching things that need to be preached, people get upset with that. So even a lot of Christians sometimes, and those who are non-Christians, don't have any respect for the word of God. But Christians should have respect for God. We should love God, reverence him, serve him, as God's word teaches us to do. And so this subject tonight is very important, respect for God. We're going to look at about 3 or 4 points in this lesson, and hopefully we can get a good understanding of the sermon and take the things and apply them to our lives. If a person don't have any respect for God, they're not going to love God. They're not going to keep his commandments. They're not going to worship him, as John 4:24 says, if you don't have any respect. So the question, do you love God? If a person don't have any respect, the answer would be no on that. And then we talked about absolute total devotion. They won't be devoted to God either. And their worship will end up being vain. When you don't have any respect for God, your worship is not going to please God. It's going to be empty, useless worship. So tonight we're going to talk about respect for God. And on the overhead here, we're going to look at this subject tonight. And hopefully we all will get something out of it. The first point of this lesson I want to talk about is simply the word respect. What does the word respect mean? What does it mean? Well, the best that I come up with in my study on what the word respect is, one may respect his or her spouse, parents, children, older people, our country, our flag, even the ego. Some people respect that. Memorials, even the people who have died and gone on. Many people respect these people. But what is respect when it comes to God? Well, I believe that the word really means something. I think we need to search and understand what it means. The word respect means one regards for or hold one in high esteem. We ought to hold God in high esteem. We should respect God. And when you respect God, you obey God. When children respect their parents, guess what they do? They obey their parents. If children don't respect their parents, they're not going to listen to their parents. We all know that. But we need to understand that we need to respect God. So the word respect means having high or warm regards for or to hold one in high esteem. But most people know that God is to be respected much more higher than anything else in this world. It's surprising, it really bothers me how that some people respect their jobs and their boss man and everybody else more than they respect God. And their boss man is not giving them life. Their boss man is not blessing them with the air to breathe. But they respect their boss man. And even some respect their other children or people or friends more than they do God. But God is to be highly respected more than anything in this world. So we ought to respect or have respect for God. And then notice this. When we speak of respect for God, here's the point that I'm making when I talk about respect for God. What I'm referring to. Well, let me mention something else before I get to this. The word reverence, for instance, could be used for respect for God. Webster defines reverence a feeling of deep respect, love, and awe, and reverent, to have deep regard or deep respect for a person. That's what Webster says the word means. When we respect or we have respect for God as God's word teaches, we are speaking of an attitude that goes along with this, a profound respect which is also manifested in our behavior. If we respect God, it's going to be seen in our behavior. Now, let me get a few scriptures for you so you can really see what God's word says about this. Let's read a couple of scriptures, not all of them, just some. Look at Romans chapter 13 and verse number 7. When you hear Romans 13, I'm sure the first thing that comes to your mind is the laws of the land, obeying the laws of the land, because that's what the first few verses says in Romans chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2. But in Romans chapter 13, looking at verse number 7 of this chapter, notice it says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, that's levy, in other words, that's tax property, tribute is due, tax property, custom to whom custom, fear, see that word fear there? That's reverence right there. That's reverence or respect to whom fear or respect, honor to whom honor. Well, that's what the text says. But I wanted you to see that word in there. That word fear there means reverence or respect. In verse number 3 of Romans chapter 13, it uses the word, it says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. If you're keeping the laws of the land, there's no reason for you to be afraid when the police is riding 300 or 400 feet behind you. If you're driving 55 miles an hour, you don't have any fear. You're respecting the law of the land. So you don't have to worry about the policeman pulling you over to the side unless something's wrong with your car or you're running away from the police. If not, you don't have no fear about them. I never have no fear. When they behind me, I just keep right on going. I know I've got my foot on, got it set on the cruise, and I can't go wrong. And usually they give you an extra 5 miles anyway. So, you know, but when they get behind you, I drop those 5 miles. I don't do it. Even though they let you go less than five. But anyway, we know what respect means. And see, our attitude changed. Isn't that something? When we see the police coming up behind us, I've been driving numerous of times on the interstate. Semi-trucks are not supposed to get within 20 or 30 feet of your car. But you know, sometimes they get right up on your car when you're on the interstate, and they want you to move over in the next lane or either get scared or whatever. Not me. When they behind me, I have my cruise set. I take my arm and put it across the other seat, and I'll be whistling and driving. And then guess what happens? When I get down the road a little bit, and they see the people in that semi-truck see the policeman coming, guess what they do? They bang way on. I noticed that. Well, see, they have respect for the law of the land, don't they, to a certain extent. But we as Christians, we ought to have respect for God. So let's look at these. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 2, we are familiar with this text too, because, of course, it's dealing with the family here. And it talks about how children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Notice, honor, respect. A lot of kids, they don't respect their parents. They really don't. I'm going to tell you, when I was in I was in Walmart in Starkville, Mississippi a couple years ago, and someone had let their little child got loose, and the child was just running through the store. Now, I was in the freezer section taking something out of the freezer. This little kid walked up to me and took his hand and hit me on my thigh for no reason. Just hit me like that. I looked around. I didn't see his parents. I hit him back. And when I hit him back, he started crying. And he started walking down the aisle, and I grabbed my produce and walked on down the aisle. But I tell you, he won't hit anybody else. He hit me, and I hit him. If he hit the wrong person that day, I would hit a hard-headed child. And he hit me, and I hit him back. He had to be about 7 years old. Well, that little kid didn't have any respect. And I think the parents ought to keep up with children like this. But children ought to honor their parents. As this text here says, honor our father and mother. We honor our mother and father. We respect them. Of course, I got a whooping every Friday, but I learned to respect them. And so we as Christians need to do that. So we need to notice some of these passages. Let me read one more. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. This is one we're familiar with. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. 1 Peter 3 and 7. And this text here talks about the husband and wife. But husbands and should honor their wives. Yes, they should. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife as a weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. When a husband mistreats his wife, calls her names, picks at her because he picks up weight or gets skinny, picks on her a lot or calls all kinds of names, he is not respecting his wife. He's not showing any kind of respect for her. And his prayers can be hindered when he mistreats his wife. Well, suppose the wife mistreat the husband, say, you're getting overweight, or you're getting too skinny, or you ain't doing this or doing that. I'm talking about criticizing them pretty bad. Well, then her prayers can be hindered too. But we need to have respect for one another. So we need to understand what this word respect means before we get to the next point of this lesson. Which is in point number two, we're going to talk about man should respect God above all. And let's talk about some reasons why man should respect God above everything else in this world today. Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 for this one. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to notice verse number 28. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28. And let's look at this text here for a second. Man should respect God above all, but why should he do it? I believe this verse gives us the answer. Wherefore, we receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. We ought to be devoted to God. We should reverence God. Now, God don't want us to be so scared of him that we are trembling and scared every time his name is mentioned. He don't want us to do that. He wants us to give ourselves totally to him, respect him enough to obey him. I was afraid of my father. My father was 6'2", about 245. And that, in the 60s, I was a big man. 245 in the 60s was a big fella. My father had big arms, big muscles. He used to hold all six of us on his arms. That's how big he was. But boy, I had a fear of my dad. All my father had to say was, Alexander! And boy, that scared me, boy. Well, I knew I got a whooping every Friday. That's why, one reason. But I was fearful of him. Now, I didn't have the kind of fear where I reverence him and say, Dad, I'm willing to do anything you ask me to do. No, I was afraid of him. My father sure knew how to whoop us, boy. He got tired of us running between his legs and started hitting his legs with that belt. He said, I got to figure out another way to get these kids. So he hold us up in the air like that so you can't go anywhere. And boy, he used to wear us out. And that brought fear to me. I always had a fear of my father. Because, you know, as I got older, that fear kind of disappeared. And now I respect my father's death, but I respect my mother. If my mother need anything or she need me to help her anyway, I check on her, keep up with her, make sure she's doing okay. But I still respect my mother. I don't say anything bad about her. I won't talk behind her back. When she, you know, asks me to do something, I do it because I respect and honor my mother. And that's what we ought to do. But this text says here that we ought to honor or reverence God with godly fear. And we should. And then that's Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, in case some of you didn't get it. And then notice here also on the second chart I'm going to use here, still dealing with that second point, I want us to notice the next thing here about the kind of fear we need to have for God as God's word teacher. Let's just look at all of these. I'll just show you all of these. And you just want to write them or whatever, you can go ahead and do that. Let's look at all three of them. Another reason why we ought to fear God is because God is the creator. He made everything according to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, verse 26 through 27. In verse 31, it says everything God made was very good. But then you notice we turn to Genesis chapter 2, and I got my other King James here tonight so I can look at it. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. You see that scripture there. All of them are talking about the same thing, but just let's look at it for a second. Genesis chapter 2, and the verse we're looking at here is verse number 7. In verse 7 of this chapter, it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We ought to respect God, brethren, because we should reverence him with godly fear, and then because he is a creator. He created everything. God spake the world into existence. According to Psalms 33, verse 8 and 9, God spoke this world into existence. When God spake, the floods came in Genesis chapter 6, verse 17 through chapter 7. When God spoke, the flood came. When God spake from Sinai, the people feared God greatly on that mountain. According to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at Romans 1:25 right quick. Romans chapter 1. And verse number 25, please. Romans 1 and 25. These are just a few reasons why we ought to reverence and fear God with godly fear, brethren. This is why we ought to do that. This is Romans chapter 1, and the verse I'm looking at is verse 25. Look at the attitude of these Gentiles who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. See that? Who is blessed forever. Amen. They worship four-footed beasts and creeping things better than serving God. And they could have did that if they wanted to. They chose not to do it. These Gentiles are some wicked people that Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 1. Homosexuality was involved in that too. Yes, in Romans chapter 1. Another reason why is because man is dependent upon God as a guide. Man cannot guide himself. He needs God to guide him. Jeremiah 10:23 makes it very plain that man cannot direct his own steps. We need God to do that for us. Proverbs 14:12, that's the way which seemeth right unto men, but are the ways of death. Those ways that we develop and we made ourselves will lead to nothing but destruction. And all these false teaching and doctrines of men and denominational churches and denominationalism is going to be rooted up one day. They're going to be lost. We need to let God show us the way. God guides us through his word. We read God's word, he guides us. And then another reason is because God is the Father of spirits and rightly deserves respect. We should respect God. Look at Hebrews 12 and 9. Some of you probably already went there already, but turn to Hebrews 12, look at verse number 9. This is just, I believe Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews. Most people do believe he's the writer, but I do believe he's the writer of it. And you'll notice in verse number 12 of this chapter, verse 9, excuse me, it says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. I think, let me make sure I got that right. No, that's true. No, I knew something was wrong. Sometimes you read these verses, you know when it's the wrong one, and then you just go to the right one. Verse number 9 of chapter 12. Furthermore, he said, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? And then I recall what Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28 when he was teaching those at Athenians, or he was teaching those at Athens when they were totally given over to idolatry worship. Notice what he says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17 and verse 28 of this chapter. Notice this. He's teaching them who God is. He says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. So we looked at four reasons why we ought to respect God above anything else in this world. Number one, he says we ought to respect him with godly fear. Number two, because he is a creator. Number three, because man is dependent upon God as a guide. Number four, because God is the Father of the Spirit and rightly deserves respect. We need to respect, or we need to, excuse me, we need to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Let me give you a scripture to show that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and look at verse number 1, please. And notice what Paul says to these brethren about separating themselves. Now, the point that I'm making here, under this here point I'm stressing, is that we need to perfect our holiness in the fear of God. Verse 1 of chapter 7 says, having therefore these promises that were mentioned earlier, dearly beloved, let us cleanse our hands. That means putting off and putting things to death. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting what? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's what Paul said we ought to do as Christians. Doing what pleases God, in other words, brethren. Not pleasing our flesh, but pleasing God. But notice it says in the fear of God. So these are the reasons why we should respect God above all. And then let's look at the next one, point three. Let's look at some demonstrations, for instance. I put down demonstrations, demonstrating respect for God. There are many, but I'm just going to show two of them tonight. Notice just these two. We're talking about demonstrating respect for God. Well, to have respect for his name. A lot of people don't respect God's name today. Is that right or wrong? A lot of people don't do that. They blaspheme God's name. They use four-letter words. They curse. And brethren, we need to be careful too. We shouldn't be saying gosh. No, Jesus Christ. Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Now, when I was young, when men say, Lord, have mercy, they wasn't asking God for mercy. That's when they see a woman walking. That's the first thing they say, Lord, have mercy. Why are they going to ask God and call for mercy when they're lusting at some woman walking down the street with some tight clothes on and then calling God's name? I believe that's using God's name in vain myself. And we have to be careful with the way we talk and speak. But we ought to respect his name. The word reverend is only found one time in the scriptures. And then it has reference to God and not to man. Look at those pronouns in Psalms. And that's what I always say, too, when I'm in a discussion with someone that call their priest a reverend. I'm trying to convince them that they shouldn't do that and that Jesus said we shouldn't be falling behind titles. Well, what I do is I take them to this text and ask them to read it. Then I ask them, who are these pronouns referring to? Notice, thy word. Oh, well, I'm talking about the woman. That's Psalms 111. I was thinking about 119. But some of you already have it. Let me just, even though I can quote it, I want to make a point here. That's why I want to read it. He sent redemption. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. So I always ask them, is this talking about man or talking about God? And if they read the chapters, they know it's referring to God. So I say, why are you calling the priest a reverend then? Is he high as God? Is he powerful as God? No, he's not. Paul wasn't even called reverend. Peter wasn't called reverend. If anybody should have been called, it should have been Paul. He was faithful. Now, I know Paul wasn't God. But I know that too. But I'm just saying, if you're going to call somebody that, why not call those men that? But you never hear these men called by that name in the Bible. Not a one of them is ever called reverend. And these preachers have the nerve to call themselves reverend. put it on their cars, put it on the building so you can see it. This text says, holding reverence is his name. That's referring to God. So the word reverence is only found once. It is lack of respect of God, or should I say lack of respect for God, to refer to any man as reverent. God's word condemns that. God is, when you call God reverent, then you're saying the correct thing. Because that's what the scriptures say, not Reverend Joe. Reverend God, yes, not Reverend Joe. And then notice also, respect for his word. Well, that's another thing we have problems with people today. They don't have no respect. Respect is showing for his name by not using it in vain. People use God's name in vain all the time. We are not to do that as Christians. Never use these words, brethren, I just mentioned to you. Gosh, Godly, Godly, excuse me. Lordy, Lordy, etc. It could be many names I could use. These are corrupt forms of God's name. And those who respect the Lord do not deny his name. They don't use these kind of words. Then how about respect for God? Because some of you already done turned to Isaiah 66 and verse number 2. So let's look at that text. Isaiah 66 and verse number 2. Well, this is dealing with that series I'm talking about, because you can't worship God if you don't have no respect for him. You're not going to worship God if you don't have respect for him. And so in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, it says, for all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and a contrite spirit. See there, contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. We ought to tremble at God's word. We ought to fear God's word. We ought to reverence God's word. To keep it. Hebrews 4:12 talks about God's word sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than anything in this world. A two-edged sword, if you ever seen one before, it does a lot of damage. It hurts going in, and it does damage coming out when you pull it out. God's word is sharper than that. More powerful than anything in this world. That's why Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is a power. The dynamo is a dynamite. God's, we get that word from that. It's powerful. To save man. One cannot respect God and disrespect his word. You can't do that. And even some preachers that call themselves preaching in these pulpits, they disrespect God and then call themselves preaching God's word. That's a shame. And one who respects the word of God will not wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. We got a lot of preachers that don't respect God's word because they twist the scriptures, torture the scriptures, twist them to their own destruction. Whenever some preacher get up and say, baptism is not essential. You don't need to be. You can get baptized, but it's not going to do anything to show you have a relationship with Christ. But it's not going to remove your sins. It's not going to save you. Those Church of Christ folks are always saying that, but they don't know what they're talking about. We do know what we're talking about. We're going by the scriptures. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Boy, you can't get it no better than that. These little children in here understand that scripture. Acts 2:38, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. Not because you already had your sins remitted, but for remission of sins. Even Paul was baptized to have his sins washed away. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us, baptism does also now save us. So a preacher who tells you you don't need to be baptized have no respect for God's word. He does not have respect for God's word. He does not. As I wrote down in my notes here, one who respects the word of God will not wrest the scriptures to his own destruction. 2 Peter 3:16. He won't do it. Women can be preachers. Church of your choice. Any church you want to go to, you go to it. The Lord is in every church. Every one of these churches are going to heaven. That's false teaching. God's word doesn't teach that. These fellows don't have no respect for God's word. And he will keep God's word. Not only will he have respect for it, but he's going to keep it. Now turn to 1 John chapter 2, and let's look at chapter 2 and verse 3, excuse me. 1 John chapter 2, and look at verse number 3. Almost let this scripture got by me. Now, you know, I didn't write hardly these scriptures on the overhead because I just want you to turn to the scriptures. So I didn't write them. And you just turn with me, let's read together. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, it says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and a lot of preachers say they know him. A lot of members of the church say they know him too. and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, John was guided by the Holy Spirit when he wrote that. That's not his opinion. That's what the Holy Spirit guided him in writing. Notice also, but whoso keepeth the word, keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. See that? And verse number 6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So if a person say they're respecting God, they should keep God's word. It's just that plain and simple. Matthew 7:21 saith, not even one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. James 1:22 tells us to be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And what about John 14:15? If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 5:3 says, his commandments are not grievous. So we have many today that don't respect God's word. And that's why we have all the denominational and false teaching going on now in the world. And people are confused. There are millions of people involved in Buddhism, and there are millions who are Muslims, following behind some man, still are following behind God. That's because they don't have no respect for God. And what do they do when you try to teach them? They get mad. They want to hurt you. Just bad as it can be. Well, let's see what else I wrote. Well, let's see, two or three, respect for God. Well, let me mention respect for worship of God. I might be jumping ahead of myself. Let me see if I jump ahead of myself. No, I didn't jump ahead. I'm right on target. Respect for God's worship. Now, the word worship is a Greek word, which I can't pronounce, and I'm not going to slaughter it, but I know what it means, and that counts more than anything. The word worship in John chapter 4, verse 24 means to make offerings, means to do reverence to, is used of an act of homage or reverence to God, according to what Vine wrote. An act of paying homage to God, that demands, that you're going to have the right attitude and right respect for God. That's what that means. If you're going to reverence God and show reverence to him, you're going to respect him. John 4:24. And in John chapter 4 and verse 24, you all know what that text says because we studied it already. It says, in spirit, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, which means with the right attitude coming from the heart. Not the blood pump, but the mind, the conscious, the mind. And then in truth means worshiping God according to the truth of the scriptures. We're going to stick to those scriptures. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the only thing that's going to make you free. We won't add, we won't subtract. We stick to the way the Bible speaks, and we do what the Bible says. And not all worship is pleasing to God, is it? The Bible speaks of different kinds of worship. It speaks of vain worship. It speaks of ignorant worship. It speaks of will worship. But the one God wants is spirit and truth. We are looking at this right here. We're still dealing with respect for his word. A lot of people don't respect God's word. But we need to learn to respect God's word and do the things he commands us to do. Okay, let's look at the next one here. God is to be respected in something else. But let me mention one more thing here before I move on. What about participating in worship service? That's the way you show God that you're following his word, is by doing that. Worship is not a spectator activity. Worship is an activity in which every Christian has a responsibility to participate. Everyone must participate in teaching, prayer, giving, taking the Lord's Supper, and singing. Any Christian who refuses to participate in worship, whether it be by refusing to sing, give, or give as they prosper, or whatever, is showing disrespect to God's word. Yes, sir, that's what we do. And we show respect for God in worship by being on time. I'm still talking about the same thing, respect for God. Being on time, having a quiet attitude of reverence, not talking during worship, not giggling, not passing notes. This is showing disrespect towards God. And this is showing disrespect to those who are around us. Dressing for the occasion. When you want to show respect for God again, demonstrating respect for God, you're going to dress appropriately when you come to worship service. Not only when you come to the assembly, you are always going to dress appropriately. Dressing for the occasion. When we attend a funeral service, we do not wear jeans and a t-shirt. But I seen brethren get up behind the Lord's table with a t-shirt on and jeans with holes in them. That's not the respect for God. And the brethren who put them up, they ought to feel ashamed. Now, they'll say clothes don't have much to do with the man. Yes, it does have something to do with them. Yes, it does. You can't dress inappropriately and have your mind right with God. If you're going to dress, have your mind right, you're going to dress right. And so when you go to a funeral service, you're not going to wear a t-shirt and jeans with holes in them. You're going to go looking appropriately. You're going to dress nicely. And you're going to have respect for the dead. The reason being, we show respect for that occasion. And I put this in my notes, and I'm going on to the third point, to the fourth point here. If we dress appropriately for other important occasions, such as weddings and funerals, because of a respectful attitude, why would one feel differently when he or she comes to worship on the Lord's Day for a meeting or a gospel meeting with the to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they dress inappropriately for worship service for that? Now, you know, the congregation where I'm preaching, I've been with them for 13 years now. When I first started preaching for them, those sisters were not well taught in the scriptures. They came out of institutionalism. Thank God for Ron Halbrook and Bobby Holmes. They brought them out of it, and I thank God for those men. But boy, those sisters needed some teaching, because they used to come to church with short pants on Sunday nights. They wore sweatpants to Bible class. They wore sweatpants to worship service. First thing I had to do was try to teach them about modest apparel, how to dress appropriately for worship service, because you're not respecting God. You're not going out to some football game or to some place to play sports. You're coming to worship service to worship God, and you ought to give God your best. The principle at work is that we are to give the Lord our very best in every area. Now those sisters are dressing appropriately for everything now, because they just need to be taught, that's all. And our Lord does not have a dress code. No, we don't have a dress code. We don't tell someone when you come in here that you got to wear a suit. Some congregations tell the young men before they put them up behind the podium, you got to have a suit on. We don't tell the young men that. But I do tell the young men, if you're going to get up and give an invitation, you're not getting up there with a t-shirt on. You're not getting up there with a sweatshirt on with info written right all across your chest, because people are going to be reading your chest and listening to what you're saying. But I tell them to put on a nice shirt and a nice pair of dress pants when you get up behind the podium and teach a lesson. You need to learn how to do that. I was taught to do that. They need to learn how to do it. There's nothing wrong with that. That don't mean we have a dress code. We just want them to dress appropriately. Well, all that has to do with demonstrating respect for God, brethren. Now, let's go to this fourth point now. God is to be respected in our speech. Oh, yes, he is. A lot of Christians don't respect God by the way they talk. But God is to be respected in our speech. The Christian who respects God will not be guilty of cursing, any form of profanity, slander, telling dirty, filthy jokes, or listening to. Now, some brethren believe that if I don't tell these filthy jokes, then I'm not guilty of anything, but I sure can listen to them. But then Jesus tells us to be careful how we listen and what we listen to. Yes, he did. So we need to be careful about these filthy, vulgar jokes. And you know, they blaspheme God's name in these jokes, these filthy, dirty jokes. And they don't have no shame or nothing like that. But God is to be respected in our speech. Now, I'm just going to read a few of these. You can't even see them. Let me show them to you. Here we go. I'm going to read some of these. Some of them we're familiar with, but I'm going to read a few of them. Turn to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Brother, let us respect God the way that God wants us to respect him and serve him the way he wants us to serve him. We all want to go to heaven, I'm sure, but we have to learn how to respect God even more. Most of us, some of us, or might be all of us in here do it. But it never hurts to hear lessons on it, to encourage you to keep doing what's right. But in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, Jesus said this himself in this text here. I use this a lot when I'm teaching on this subject. But I say unto you that every idle, you know that word idle means useless word. Every idle word that men shall speak, they should give account thereof in the day of judgment. We're going to give account of what we say with our tongues and the words we talk. We're going to give account of it. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And then notice also Matthew 5 and verse number 8. Listen at what Jesus said in this, dealing with the Sermon on the Mount. Listen at this, Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the pure in heart are going to be pure in their mind and their thinking. And then notice Ephesians 4, 29. And what did Paul say in Ephesians 4 and 29 in this text here? It's dealing with our speaking, our language, our speech. In verse 29, it says, let no corrupt, you know what that word corrupt means there? Some of you got a good translation. That means rotten. Paul says, let no rotten communication proceed up out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the healed. I'm going to tell you, when you cussing out somebody, call them names, you ain't edifying nobody. When you call people names, they don't have to be four letter words. You can just call somebody stupid. Now, I tell you now, you know, we preachers have to work on ourselves too. If you get mad enough, you know, every once in a while, I might say, dummy. And I have to be careful too, because I say dumb in a heartbeat, dummy. Yeah. And I get called dummy sometimes, you know, by who sometimes. I don't mind taking it from my wife, but nobody else might not call me a dummy. But anyway, you know, those are words we use. Well, dummy is a little bit better than using some of the other words, you know what I mean? But Paul says here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You want to say something pleasant, something good. What about Colossians 4:6? That's the parallel scripture. They've read about the same, but since I have it, I'm just going to read it anyway. Colossians chapter 4:6, listen at this one. Now, Paul is talking again. First of all, he tells these brethren that they ought to walk in wisdom. We ought to walk in wisdom, brethren. We ought to walk like we know something, like we know what we're doing. He says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. That's talking about non-Christians. Watch this. Redeeming the time. And notice this. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Every time I see this word salt, first thing I think about watermelon. Now, I'm not going back to the 1800s when slavery, now I'm just talking about watermelon. I like watermelon. And I just cannot eat watermelon without putting salt on it. Now, it really don't make any sense to eat watermelon, sweet watermelon, putting salt on it, that's going to make it bitter, but what it does, it brings out the taste. And I'm going to tell you, salt is good, boy, when you put it on right on a lot of things. Anything you like to eat, I mean, it brings the taste out. But notice what Paul is saying. Let your speech always be seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know what that word there means when it says season? That means your manner of speech, your choice of words. We shouldn't use harsh, cutting, cruel words. We ought to use words that are pleasant, not words that are dirty, not words that are filthy, not rottenness or useless words as Christians. Our speech should be seasoned when we talk to people. We should know how to talk to people. Someone just died, you don't go up to them saying, well, he gone, ain't he? That ain't the right thing to say at the right time. See, we have to use the right language and the right speech. It's seasoned with salt. Your manner of speech, your choice of words. It means your words must be attractive. That's another way of saying it. And so he said, let your speech always be with grace. And then let's look at one more, Philippians 4:8. Now, Paul said in this text that we ought to think on things that are pure and things that are good. We ought to always think on those things. And that's what he's talking about in Philippians chapter 4 and, of course, verse number 8. And then we're going to the last point of this lesson. But let's look at verse 8 of chapter 4, excuse me. He says, finally, as for the rest, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you're thinking on them, you're going to speak them. If you're thinking on them, you're going to speak them. So our speech shows what kind of respect we have for God. And we ought to go to prayer to God all the time, more than just once a day when we're about to eat. Pray for someone that needs a prayer. Sometimes we'll go to God and pray, but we ought to pray to God all the time, communicating with him, asking him for forgiveness, asking him for strength, and keeping our speech pure. And then let's go to the last one here. And that is, God is to be respected through our disposition. I'll tell you what I mean by that. And if I can get this to stay on there. But we'll look at this one here. Yes, through our disposition. Well, what does that mean? Well, the New Testament Christianity is not a religion which one practices only on the first day of the week. It is a way of life. See, there it is right there. You just don't practice Christianity on Sunday. We worship and serve God all the time. Or either we're not worshiping, we're serving him all the time. Let's say that because some brethren teach that everything you do is worship. And so that's something you need to study sometimes. Take a little time to read and study that. But whatever we do when it comes to God, we're going to give God our best. Our lives are open book. Yes, they are. Which are read by those around us each day. Non-Christians are reading us every day. They're watching what we're saying. They're watching how we're behaving. And don't you think for 1 minute they're not keeping an eye on you. They're looking at you. They're trying to find something in us. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:2 that we are open books that are read before men. That's what we are. He says epistles there in that text. But that's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 2. He says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So people look at us and read us by what they see. Matthew 5:16 tells us to let our light so shine before men that they see our good works. And then also, I'll tell you what, let me see if I had another chart. I don't think I did. Yeah, one more. In case y'all was wondering, where's the points at? Here they are right there. I know some of y'all were looking kind of crazy there a little bit. Well, I'm getting ready to close anyway now, so you want to write some of them down if you want to, but there's the text that you need. Now, I want to read Philippians 2:15, because this is one of my favorite scriptures again. And when you really examine this text right here, Paul is really teaching us something about the way we carry ourselves as Christians. Guess who we are supposed to let our light so shine before? Well, Paul tells us in verse 15, notice carefully. This is Philippians chapter 2, and of course the verse is number 15. Here's what he says in this verse. That you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, watch this, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. See that? We're living among wicked people. They're all around us. Everywhere you go, there are wicked people who can care less about worship and serving God. And it's nothing new because that's how the world's been for a long time. And people are still the same way today. So what do we need to do? Let our light so shine before them that we may glorify God. But notice what he says again. He says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That text right there goes right along with Matthew 5 and verse number 16. And having a Christ-like attitude shows we have a genuine respect for God. So our attitude is also to be one which shows respect for God. Look at Philippians 2:5. That talks about having the mind of Christ, by the way. Philippians 2:5 talks about having the mind of Christ, and you can see it in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, Christ was humble, and that's what this text is talking about, how he was humble. And we need to be humble. And Christ also put others before himself. That's what verse 3 says of Philippians 2. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And so we need to have the mind of Christ. And so, brethren, these are just a few points tonight. Give you something to chew on. Dealing with respect to God. We ought to respect God. If we don't respect him, we're not going to obey him. We're not going to listen to what he says. We're not going to please him. And we'll be lost because of it. So if one truly respects God, then it will be seen or manifested outwardly through one's worship, speech, attitude, dress, and every other aspect of life. It will. If you, all you brethren in here tonight, say, I respect God, but you don't come to Bible class, you don't read your Bibles, you don't even pray but once in a while, you know your neighbors and your friends are lost, but you don't even attempt to make an effort to teach them at all, you just don't do it, you rely on the preacher to do it and not you, or the elders or the deacons, but not you, you're not respecting God. All of us have the responsibility to teach those lost in sin. As far as I know, when the church was persecuted in Acts chapter 8, verse 1 through 5, it wasn't the preachers who were scattered abroad or the apostles. It was the members who were scattered abroad. And they went everywhere teaching. So it's everyone's responsibility to do that. All our responsibility. The members where I met, they were depending on me to do everything. I don't know why they depend on the preachers to do everything. And then they'll say, because we're paying you, that's why. Oh, That's what they'll say. Well, all the work we do, we don't get enough money, you ask me. But we do it because we love the Lord. And I try to motivate these brethren where I'm at that you have a responsibility to. I know you brothers say the same thing. If everyone in here will win one soul for the Lord next year, if Lord willing, around next year, this congregation will double its size. I always tell the brethren that. We'll have 50 instead of 28 or 25. But if we don't get but one, still a 50, just one, we did some good. And so you tell brethren that to get them motivated. But brethren, let us respect God through our actions and our disposition. And let us please God and do the things he commands us to do. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Christ gave us the saving gospel. Christ built his church on the day of Pentecost and came into existence. God wants all men to be saved according to Romans 2 and 4. And Christ is preparing heaven for those who are righteous right now. That's God's part. He don't did his part, see? God has done his part. Then we have man's part. What is man's part? Man's part is to hear the gospel. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. Be willing to repent of his or her sins, making a change of their mind, confessing faith in Christ, being baptized for remission of sins, and living the Christian life faithfully as a Christian till death, or just live faithfully. So God sent his son back. Now, have you done yours? Christ did his. Have we done ours? All you have to do is obey. And if you are a Christian, all you need to do is repent tonight. You might be saying, I don't respect God much. I watch things on television. I hear things I shouldn't see. I watch videos and I see things I shouldn't see. And I know that I'm not respecting God by doing that. Well, repent of it tonight and don't do it anymore. Start respecting God more and worshiping him and showing reverence to him. You know, that word reverence also means bowing down. And that's how we ought to worship God. We ought to respect him and do his will. Well, if you need to respond to the gospel call tonight, this is the chance to do it, or the time to do it. We're going to stand now and sing the invitation song.